everyone talks about, it's going to be in everyone's pitch decks, or it's incorporated somehow, or they're utilizing it. What's actually coming next, or what's actually a development in that field that you're seeing, or that's interesting, or that's something that either someone could put into practice, or that you're just seeing on new deals that are coming up, or that you wish you would see in that space? Let's start down here.
Sure. So, we love AI, you know, and I chuckled when about his names, when one of the guys said that everyone slaps the two letters AI pitch deck, and all of a sudden they're an AI.
Yeah.
We've seen a ton of those. But what we really like, we're early on, we think, you know, in the sort of in the AI cycle. So what we really like are foundational AI platforms. So we, by foundational, we mean, as you start getting into picks and axes, like who are the original sort of picks and axes in the list pitch, right? So we look at some of them you can invest in, some of them you can't invest in. So obviously everyone here knows who ChatGPT is. You know, OpenAI is obviously one of this. We call them tier one AI companies. There's a company called Anthropic, you know, which is similar to OpenAI. They have a language model called Claude. And the team came from OpenAI, again, a company that we love. And then Google has Google Brain and Google DeepMind. So those are foundational companies. And we are kind of pretty early on in the curve. The late stage of the curve, and some people might agree or disagree with this, is artificial general intelligence. But where I was talking to a guy called Mike Little, the co-founder of WordPress, the other day, and he thinks that we're 30 years away from AGI. So we love the foundational things. There's a company called Cerebras, which is they've developed the world's most powerful semiconductor. It's far more powerful than NVIDIA's A100. Chips. We're an investor in Cerebras as well. Amazing company, amazing CEO. Sort of raw computational power. And then even on the database side, you have companies like SingleStore, which is it's one of the fastest databases out there. You know, so things that drive kind of true sort of AI powering growth. We think we'll continue to attract institutional capital.
And are you seeing the same thing on foundational side, or where are you looking at those opportunities and trends?
And to kind of echo what Steve said, my advice would be very careful, because we've seen a lot of pitch decks maybe 3-4 years ago. All of a sudden they come back, they've got a new logo, new color. It's still the same team, okay? But now it's AI. We just had one right now out of Atlanta that I think they've been out of business like 3 times and just keep coming back. So work with a group, with an individual like Steve that, you know, these guys, I've never met them personally, but we'll talk afterwards. For us, fortunately, we're very niche specific. We're very SaaS and fintech based. So, you know, AI is going to make a huge impact, but there's going to be a lot of people that lose a lot of money with AI as well. Because if you're not, you have to have that clear path to revenue. And a lot of the guys we're talking to, they're just, you know, well, we've got this. It does. Okay, well, how does it make money? What are you going to do with it? It sounds like a wonderful weekend hobby, but I don't know if I want to invest in it. And that'd be my advice, is just be very careful. Again, we specialize, like right now we've got 2 consulting gigs for 2 Fortune 500 companies in the fintech and SaaS space. So we kind of know what we're looking for, but yeah, a lot of the AI stuff, it's above our pay grade. We defer it to individuals on this panel, but because we focus very niche, which again, that's always been our business philosophy, is let's be great at what we're great at. Let's not try to be a jack of all trades.
All right, and Glenn, one more there.
Yeah, so I have several portfolio companies that have revenue, are growing, but at the board level, we're discussing how do we apply AI into their own business to accelerate the growth of the company, and what kind of capital is going to be needed. Each one of them, if they're able to successfully apply it, that's just going to take them to another trajectory. So it's a little bit different. We're not looking at pre-revenue. We're looking at revenue and how do you use it to actually amplify the business itself.
Okay. And I guess that's a question too. So if we're trying to protect your downside, and you're trying to protect, all right, if we're only looking at companies that are bringing in revenue, or you're looking at companies that are pre-revenue, like what are you actually looking at to sort of protect the downside? Is it the team? Is it just that scale to profitability and how fast that runway is? Or what's your individual approach when you're looking at these deals?
I think so. I'll probably state the obvious, but you start with your portfolio construction, right? So in some of these early stage ventures, you will have downside. But then the issue is, you know, how do you diversify that risk and how do you manage that? So I would say, number one, be super clear about that. That we set the next stage of parameters around, you know, managing that. And you know, there's a series of due diligence aspects that go into it. I would say just learning from my mistakes and my worst investments. There's one thing, it's around diligencing the founders and keep grinding on better and better ways of doing that. I would almost say it's never enough. And sometimes going a little slower on doing that. You were mentioning an example where they are coming back with different colors and whatnot. That would be the thing. And some of that is also leveraging your network to do that. Or, hey, what question have I not asked? What do I not know?
Okay. Yeah. And down at the end there.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I mean, for us, fundamentally, we want to look at businesses that have a strong kind of ground floor, you know, fundamental business dynamics. And then you layer the AI tools on top of that. I always get scared when I see new companies come out that say that they're AI powered or they're trying to recreate the wheel. And then you go, wait a second, is that too good to be true? When you've got the Googles out there and the Metas out there that can spin up a team of engineers and go after them, right? So we like companies with good business fundamentals underneath. We like sports investments because that way we can layer tech and our marketing services underneath with that to help blow them up. But I would just say be very wary of the influx of all the AI companies coming out of there right now. And at some point, it's going to become kind of commoditized. Remember, not too long ago, we were in the mania of Web3 and NFTs. I'm not saying that Web3 is bad by any means, but it's changed a lot in just 12 to 18 months. We may or may not see a similar thing happen with the AI mania, but just be very careful.
Okay. And Tony, I think you had something to add?
I would say that generative artificial intelligence is probably, well, we've had how many overhyped technologies since 1993? So IBM passed the baton, got taken from them by Cisco Systems, and client server got invented. Then ATM, asynchronous transfer mode, never really made it, but it was overhyped. DSL, semi-hype. Internet, well, a lot of people think, was it internet, you know, underhyped or overhyped? Some of the problems were the companies that were overhyped. So we fast forward, we go through cloud, we go through a lot of evolution. So AI, digital twinning, hot areas. But what I think is that it's your responsibility to keep your teams that you invest in accountable. Be certain that you have a management team and that you have somebody on your team that really can go in and make sure that the management team represents everybody's best interest, including theirs. So if there's somebody that hasn't had an experience bringing a product to market on that management team, then that management team is going to have a problem developing. Developing means slippage. Slippage means misses. Misses can mean a lot of things. They can mean failure. So be really prudent in the diligence that you do with companies. And again, the talk around AI, I had lunch with a friend on Sunday. She's a COO candidate with a company that's one of the hottest AI video applications up in the valley. Two Stanford graduates, 22 and 23, interviewed her as a COO. She looked at them. She didn't look at the pitch deck. She talked to them, and she couldn't answer any of their questions. So they got $55 million in venture funding, and they couldn't answer her questions. So be diligent, be careful, learn AI, get somebody on your team that really understands it. So when we use our acronyms and buzzwords, you guys can ask us what that means because you know what it means.
No, that's great, Tony. Oh, let's do this. Is there any questions from the audience? I know we have a few minutes left on this panel. I have one from Huva here and actually a couple, but are there any questions out in the audience? Oh, perfect. If we could bring a mic down here to the front. Perfect. We have one. Yeah, Ty, if you want to bring it on up. Yeah, thank you, Ty. So we'll have what's your name, sir?
Neil.
Perfect. So we got Ty here who's been helping us with sound. I'm a little microphone for you. And we'll just do this. And if it's directed to one or two, but why don't you say your name one more time into the mic and then a question that's directed to one of them specifically.
Neil, and this question is for you, sir. So is it possible that given that we've seen these waves of overhypes, booms and busts, that you're potentially underestimating the nature of AI and the fact that it may be different from some of these, you know, lesser powerful waves that we've seen before?
And was that to Tony or Shay? Oh, for it. So to Tony.
Absolutely, AI has the potential to be so powerful that, well, it's not just our government, but there are a lot of technologists that realize that we're going to be needing to steward AI. We're going to be the programmers of AI. The potential that generative AI has is something that's never been seen before. So think that, to the contrary, it's that powerful, it's that important, but it's still in, I'd say, its post-adolescence period. Maybe it's in eighth or ninth grade. If you use a chatbot to write something for you, if you look at something to do a video for it for you, you'll see where it's not what it is. We're always going to be responsible for it. It's always going to need human management. And without that, it would be a pretty risky thing.
No, makes sense. And let's do, and do you have something to add to that as well?
Well, I'll just remind everyone, a thing that we all know is true is the great lie of economics is always, this time it's different, right? And everything is overhyped and underhyped at the same time. Pockets will be overhyped, pockets will be underhyped. I always like to think back and just kind of pick yourself whatever it is, 25 years, 50 years or whatever it is, and look at the kinds of problems we had as a humankind at that time versus what we're dealing with today. And it's always, we don't go very far in any one year, and we go in an immense amount of time every 10 to 25 years, however you want to think about it.
No, nope,
so
perfect.
Both of you guys are right. There's just no doubt. The problem is which part?
One quick thing I'd add is also think about the fundamentals of how the technologies create and can potentially create economic value, as well as some of the hidden costs. I saw this analysis that shows that the subsequent investments in the core models like GPT and whatnot are increasingly improving the intelligence less and less, and that the difference between cheaper models and more expensive models is becoming non-discernible. At the same time, there's huge demand for infrastructure. People aren't talking enough about data and the data components of that and the value of quality data. So really thinking about all of those elements to understand what are the trends, and back to portfolio construction, some of these sectors may be super, super hot and oversubscribed, and some of these other sectors may not be, and where the path towards a better outcome may be better. So it's kind of unpacking that to really understand where there may be pockets of overhyping and underhyping and whatnot as well.
So shovels and picks, right?
Shovels and picks, he said.
Exactly right. I mean, we think that from an overall market kind of point of view, the AI market is a phenomenal, once-in-a-generational market. Really. There will be companies that aren't AI companies that masquerade as AI companies, and they become part of the fast, right? You know, but in terms of the ability to create marginal productivity, that is, I hate to use the term exponential, but I will in this case. You know, AI is incredible and it's transformative. And so from an industry point of view, it's not going anywhere. You know, we've seen companies like OpenAI scale to $2 billion revenues in record time. We've seen so many companies scale revenues in record time in the space, and that will continue. You know, the big curve for AI is to go from where it is today, which is reinvention, to artificial general intelligence. And they said we're 20, 30 years away from that. So, it is one of those. Maybe once a generation is wrong, because I think quite a lot of the people here experienced the growth of the internet as well, right? I was an investment banker in the late 90s. You know, when the internet sort of grew and bust out, right? You know, guess what? Stamps.com, which was founded during the internet boom cycle, was acquired about 2 years ago for $6.6 billion in cash, right? 2 years ago, right? So, AI is here to stay. It's not going anywhere.
No, perfect. Well, why don't we do this? If you guys don't get a chance to meet with them, we can definitely put you into contact after. After this, we actually have a fireside chat. We're going to bring back up our founder, Richard Wilson, and then also Jeff Hoffman for our billionaire fireside chat. So that's going to happen here on stage before panel number one. Please give a little round of applause. Thank you for joining us today.